This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Sessions under oath. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Welcome into Monday. It is June 12th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate Intelligence Committee will hear from Attorney General Jeff Sessions tomorrow, part of a probe into alleged Russian interference in the November election.
Voters in Puerto Rico have chosen to become the 51st state in a non-binding referendum, but ultimately Congress gets the last word.
In sports, the Pittsburgh Penguins repeat as Stanley Cup champs. Meanwhile, Golden State can become NBA champs with a win tonight at home over Cleveland.
And the number one financial regret of most adults.
So everybody ages 30 and older, they all say, oh, my biggest regret was that I had stashed away more money for retirement earlier. The under 30 set, millennials, they actually have a much different regret. And theirs is that they don't have enough money saved for emergencies.
Katie Hill at moneyish.com on financial regrets. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, Attorney General Jeff Sessions will testify tomorrow before the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's, of course, the same panel that heard from former FBI Director James Comey last week. You'll recall that Mr. Sessions earlier this year recused himself from the Justice Department's investigation of Russian efforts to meddle in the 2016 election. Mr. Comey, during testimony last week, raised the possibility of other concerns about Mr. Sessions' dealings with Russia during the campaign. Meanwhile, even though the administration would like to put this issue behind it, President Trump on Friday said he'd be willing to testify under oath that he did not ask Mr. Comey to ease off the investigation into former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn. Reaction from Utah Senator Mike Lee on ABC's This Week.
I don't see any evidence of intent to obstruct. I don't see any indication that there was even the potential for corruption here or for obstruction of justice.
It is unclear whether the Intelligence Committee hearing with Attorney General Sessions will be held in public. The attorneys general from Maryland and Washington, D.C. are expected to file a lawsuit against President Trump today, alleging he's violated anti-corruption clauses in the Constitution by accepting millions in payments and benefits from foreign governments since taking the oath of office. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Washington Post says the lawsuit centers on Mr. Trump retaining ownership of his company when he became president. The president said in January that he was shifting his business assets into a trust managed by his sons to eliminate potential conflicts of interest. But the lawsuit claims Mr. Trump has broken many promises to keep his public duties and private business interests separate. For one, his son Eric Trump has said the president would continue to receive regular updates about his company's financial health. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. 9 minutes now after the hour. Well, the governor of Puerto Rico has announced that voters there have overwhelmingly chosen statehood in a non-binding referendum. Yesterday's vote was held amid a deep economic crisis that has sparked an exodus of islanders to the U.S. mainland. Puerto Rico declared a form of bankruptcy last month, owing its creditors $73 billion. In addition, unemployment there is high, holding steady at about 11.5% since March. And about 46% of the population in Puerto Rico lives below the poverty level. David Alderondo, one of the few voters, chose independence, not statehood.
Eventually, maybe not in my lifetime, but we could become a great nation.
Nearly half a million votes were cast for statehood, according to preliminary results. However, the participation rate was just 23%. And that has raised questions about the validity. Several parties boycotted the vote. Congress has the final say in any changes to the island's political status. By the way, Puerto Rico is in a 10-year recession in which half a million people have fled to the U.S. mainland. 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. What dad doesn't love to grill, especially when it's a great steak? Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. And now this Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get a limited-time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter deal in the search bar. Omaha Steaks even offers online support with recipes and wine pairings. Here's the offer, 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 tender mild filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional burgers free. Only $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Type deal in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, grab your dad and fire up the grill. Thanks for being with us. Welcome aboard. The stock market is one of the best stories in America right now, and it's helping President Trump's performance when it comes to the broader economy. New economic data pushed Mr. Trump's grade on the economy from a B to a B+ in the latest installment of Yahoo Finance's exclusive Trumponomics report card. Here's Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Rick, what do we have?
Well, we've established what we're calling the Yahoo Finance Trumponomics report card to sort of measure the status of the economy in real time under Donald Trump and see how it's doing. So when we first launched this in May, his grade came out as a B, pretty good, obviously, and has since ticked up to a B+. And the main thing that changed is the stock market, which is one of the metrics we're following. The stock market improved. That was enough to push his grade up by a little bit. At the same time, the stock market got better. The employment picture got a little bit worse. We had a weak jobs report for May, and Trump's grade on that fell a little bit. But overall, stocks did better, and that pushed the overall grade up.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, 15 minutes now after the hour. Let's go overseas. With doubts about British Prime Minister Theresa May's ability to stay in office or govern effectively, Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas says the UK faces this prospect of prolonged political uncertainty after an inconclusive election last week. He joins us now live from London. Jason, you say there was a weekend of drama. Catch us up to date. What's going on now?
Good morning, Gordon. Yes, it's been pretty hectic here. As your listeners probably know by now, the UK had an election last Thursday. The results came in on Friday, and Theresa May, the Prime Minister, who had hoped to come back with a sort of stonking great parliamentary majority, in fact, came back having lost seats, so she's now lost her parliamentary majority. So what's happened over the weekend is she's trying to stitch together a sort of loose alliance with a group of Northern Irish lawmakers called the Democratic Unionist Party. If they can sort of firm this up, then they will be able to form what's called a minority government, and they'll be able to press ahead with various bits of their legislative program. And the other thing that happened was Theresa May lost two of her closest aides. These guys have been with her for years and years, but they appear to be blamed by the party for some of the election missteps that cost them their majority.
Mm. What about Mrs. May's future at this point, Jason?
That's a little bit up in the air. She's still the Prime Minister for now. The Tory party, her Conservative Party, appear to be rallying round for the minute. They have these negotiations with the European Union starting pretty soon, as soon as next week. So it looks like she's going to stay in power at least for a little bit. But, I mean, as one former Conservative MP described at the weekend, she looks a bit like a dead woman walking now. So, people think that she will be gone possibly as soon as the summer.
Jeez, very nice. Very nice. So we've got all this chaos, and then what, June 19, right? You're supposed to really move ahead with Brexit, right?
That's right. So Brexit talks are due to start June 19th. The latest we heard this morning, in fact, is that the Brits now, I think, might be a couple of days later, but they're still aiming for around about that time. There are some British and European sort of officials meeting, I think, today to discuss some of the preliminary stuff. But yeah, talks are due to start pretty soon, and it doesn't really strengthen the UK's hand if there's this sort of political uncertainty at home.
Mm. And then what about the potential scenario that Mrs. May actually steps down? Then what?
Yes, that is a possibility. In fact, we have a leadership challenge. Now, the Conservative Party, that can take a little bit of time, so various people can throw their hats into the ring, and it could drag out for, a couple of months. If you remember, whenever Theresa May's predecessor, David Cameron, stood down, there were quite a few different challengers But then they ultimately, for one reason or another, fell away, and Mrs. May ended up assuming the Prime Minister's mantle. So, yes, we could have, if she stands down, then we could have a challenge. But I think the message from sort of the top of the party at the minute is very much, let's try and steady the ship, at least for a little bit, get these talks started, and then we can maybe see what we want to do maybe over the summer.
Boy, I finish up with, I guess, if like, what's the logjam in terms of who might run for this seat? Isn't Boris Johnson's name out there now?
Okay, yes. Boris Johnson's name is out there. It always is, and if there's a leadership challenge, he's pretty popular, and he doesn't lack ambition, shall we say. So he'd be one of the sort of main riders. There's a couple of other people. There's a guy called David Davis, who's the minister in charge of Brexit. He's had a tilt at the leadership before. Then there's people like Philip Hammond, who's the Treasury chief here in the UK. He might be interested. And then another strong contender is a woman called Amber Rudd, who's the Home Secretary. Mm. Any of these people could conceivably throw their hat into the ring, and there may well be some others as well.
Boy, plenty of political material to write about in the UK these days. Jason, thanks for a few minutes. Wall Street Journal reporter Jason Douglas with us live this morning from London. 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Brennan Attorney General Jeff Sessions is preparing to face former Senate colleagues over his role in the controversy around ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. Sessions is scheduled to testify tomorrow before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Senator Jack Reed of Rhode Island told Fox News he doesn't think President Trump is sufficiently concerned about Russian meddling.
One thing that the president continues to diminish, which I think is unfortunate, is the fact that the Russian government, at the highest level, deliberately interfered with our election in 2016. And according to all of our experts in the intelligence community, they're coming back with more force in 18 and 20.
Fellow Republicans, meanwhile, pressed Trump to come clean about whether he has tapes of private conversations with fired FBI Director James Comey and provide them to Congress if he does. The economically struggling U.S. island territory of Puerto Rico voted overwhelmingly yesterday in favor of becoming the 51st state, although turnout was low. And adding another star to the U.S. flag likely faces an uphill battle in Congress. Only 23% of the eligible voters participated in the vote. Security camera footage of the night a Penn State pledge was fatally injured at a fraternity event is expected to be at the center of a court hearing today. 18 Beta Theta Pi members and the fraternity itself face a preliminary hearing that will determine if there's enough evidence to send the case to trial. Prosecutors say the video footage shows 19-year-old Tim Piazza being directed to drink and then falling several times. Help wasn't called until the next morning, and Piazza later died of traumatic brain injuries. Former NBA player Sebastian Telfair was arrested on weapons and drug-related charges during a traffic stop in Brooklyn. Police say the 32-year-old was arrested just before 3 a.m. Sunday after officers found firearms, a semi-automatic rifle, ammunition, and a ballistic vest in the vehicle. Telfair was a first-round draft pick in 2004. Dear Evan Hansen, a heartfelt musical about young outsiders, has won theater's popularity contest, taking home the Best New Musical trophy at the Tony Awards. A revival of Hello, Dolly, starring Bette Midler, took four Tonys. Midler stole the show with a funny four-minute acceptance speech that silenced the orchestra.
I'd like to thank the American Theater Wing to begin with, and all the Tony voters, many of whom I have actually dated.
Oslo, a three-hour meditation on diplomacy, was named Best Play.
That's great. Funny. Thanks, Jen. 24 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Nearly 3 in 4 Americans regret doing at least one thing with their money. Some of us admit to more than one regret. Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com, says this mistake, make it and you'll pay for it. Katie, what's up here?
So everybody ages 30 and older, they all say, oh, my biggest regret was that I had stashed away more money for retirement earlier. I feel like I'm, beating the drum with this one, but do it and start really early because you obviously know it's going to grow a ton more. But what's interesting to me in this data is that the under 30 set, millennials, they actually have a much different regret. And theirs is that they don't have enough money saved for emergencies. So that, while everyone else says it's retirement savings, millennials are saying it's not enough saved for emergencies, which I thought was interesting.
And that could be a snowball effect, right? So many of these young adults have student loans to pay off that they could, almost fall further behind like each month.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what is happening, right? There's student loans. They have they're trying to get their first apartment. There's they're not in that great of paying jobs yet. And another survey has found that 30% of millennials literally have no savings at all. So not even a small emergency fund going on there. That's like almost one in three. So it's pretty disturbing information. But yeah, what happens to a lot of people is they have an emergency, which, by the way, about half of people have some kind of big unforeseen expense each year. It's usually a medical thing or a car repair or something like that, but it happens to about half of people that something like that happens. But a lot of them end up putting it on their credit card, and then that snowballs into a whole other issue.
Yikes. All right, so this one stat you have in their story, the majority of people 18 to 34 say they're more likely to spend money on travel and eating than save for their financial future. But I mean, folks like yourself or people like me have been talking about this for a long time. Why is that message still not being received?
It's hard for people to imagine. You know, they think, it's fine. It's not going to happen to me. If it does, I'll figure it out. And look, I mean, you're stressed out at work. Obviously, travel is a lot more tempting. Going out to dinner, these short-term pleasures, I mean, they're just pretty tempting, and it's hard to turn them away, but it ends up affecting your savings.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Hill, editor at moneyish.com, the financial website for millennials. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Monday, June 12. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Attorney General Jeff Sessions will testify tomorrow before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Puerto Rico votes for statehood in a non-binding referendum. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. Extreme heat from Oklahoma to New York. Penguins win the Stanley Cup. USA Soccer gets an important tie with Mexico in a World Cup qualifier. NASA gotta be tracking a home run hit by Aaron Judge of the Yankees. And the 11-year-old who saved his grandfather's life in Connecticut. That story in about 20 minutes. Former House Speaker John Boehner is still grabbing headlines more than a year after leaving office and making big bucks along the way by offering his blunt take on the current state of politics and his one-time Republican colleagues in Congress. It's a story from Deirdre Shesgreen, congressional reporter at USA Today. Deirdre, what's Mr. Boehner up to?
He has kept his name in the news with a series of sort of headline-grabbing speeches, mostly to private special interest groups that have, you know, hired him to give a very candid assessment of legislative and policy issues, and he's delivering. He's made a lot of news by saying, for example, he said President Trump's tenure in office so far has been, quote, a complete disaster. And aside from some foreign policy achievements, he did try to walk that back about a week later at another paid speech, saying he was referring to missteps, not his actual legislative agenda, but just some missteps from the White House.
What's the appeal? What is it that these groups want to hear from him?
Well, Boehner is in a unique position. There are not that many former speakers living and available to make these kinds of rounds. And these folks, for example, I'll give you a few examples. There was a KPMG, a massive global accounting firm, hired him. A healthcare group hired him. So these are groups with specific legislative agendas, and they want to know what's going to happen to tax reform. What's going to happen to healthcare reform? What does he make of, you know, they have an interest in getting his insights into how Congress works and what's happening with Republicans who are now in charge of, you know, both the House, the Senate, and the White House.
We're speaking with Deirdre Shesgreen, congressional reporter at USA Today. She's written a piece called Former House Speaker John Boehner is Making Waves and Big Bucks with Paid Speeches. I thought it was interesting, too, how he's marketed on that website in terms of, you know, considering him for a speech. Right. They make it seem like it was one of the most powerful guys in the world, almost.
Absolutely. They said he was two heartbeats away from the presidency, and that he was in the thick of it all. And, you know, understands basically everything there is to understand about the way Congress works. They even noted that he had a good relationship with now President Donald Trump before Trump won the 2016 election. That the website notes that the two used to text each other, and Trump would call Boehner during tough legislative fights and, you know, give him a bit of a pep talk.
Mm. Does he weigh in on his successor, House Speaker Paul Ryan?
No, he hasn't specifically, you know, said anything about Ryan. I mean, he is making Ryan's life a little difficult with these remarks, because he's saying, you know, they're not going to be able. He's saying Ryan is not going to be able to achieve, for example, this major campaign promise of repealing and replacing Obamacare. He's also really kind of downplayed the Republicans' efforts for a tax reform bill, saying that it's happy talk, and that is one of Speaker Ryan's top legislative priorities. That's something he really wants to accomplish. And so for Boehner to sort of dismiss that as happy talk and something that you know, Republicans are not going to be able to accomplish, is it can't be helpful to Ryan. Mm.
All right, so what about a potential political comeback for Mr. Boehner?
I'm pretty sure that is not in the works. He was recently asked if he might be interested in running for president. He said no. He likes to, you know, drink his Merlot and smoke his cigarettes and mow his lawn. And he seems like he's pretty happy. I think he even said that he wakes up every morning now thinks, you know, hallelujah, that I'm not still in the speaker's job.
Thanks, Deirdre. Deirdre Shesgreen, congressional reporter at USA Today. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Good Monday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if at some point you've toyed with the idea of moving to Canada, but you still want to keep one foot literally in the U.S., we found the home for you. An almost 7,000 square foot house built in 1782 is currently for sale, and it's distinct from others on the market because it straddles the border between Vermont and Quebec. Selling a house in two countries is proving to be quite a challenge for the elderly couple who owns it. It needs a lot of work, for one, but the fact that it crosses an international border, quote, stresses everyone out. The owners say that the home and many of the town's other dwellings are a throwback to a time when crossing the border freely between the two countries was a common thing, now frowned upon amid security concerns, especially since 9/11.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah, and apparently buildings all over this town are like that. There's like a library that does that. It was just kind of a common thing. I think people thought it was either practical or funny or whatever the reason was, but they did it a lot when, you know, back when these buildings were built, and now it's a little bit of a touchy issue.
Wow. So if you're a husband and wife, and let's say you're a husband who is in the doghouse, you could just say, I'm going to sleep in Canada tonight.
Right.
And just be in the other half of the house.
I'll be the entire country away.
Lots of great things. I'm very clever like that. I could go on and on.
Yeah, especially involving politics between husband and wife.
Let's play hide and seek, but you can't go to Canada. Right. I'll stop.
And Gordon, a man who found his kitchen ant traps ineffective is instead catching laughs online thanks to some signs he made to entice the insects. Pat Tobin tweeted photos of the signs he made to enhance the ineffective ant traps he bought to curb the infestation in his kitchen. The signs feature promises of ant-centered goods and services, including sexy ant dancers, a blockbuster video for ants that's, quote, going out of business and offering cheap DVDs and Blu-rays, an organic market with fresh local produce, and a reading center for ants. Learn to read the last signed states. Maybe visit this place before you go to the other places. Tobin said in a follow-up tweet that one apparently literate ant was in fact drawn in by the promise of the sexy ant dancers.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, listen, if you're one of those like worker ants,
yeah,
you want to decompress after a long day. You want to go see the sexy ant dancers. I mean, don't you?
Long day of crawling through the cabinets.
Right. Yeah, raiding a human being's kitchen.
Right.
Need a little de-stressor.
Very clever. And again, looks like it's working.
Wow. Thank you, Mike. It's 14 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Thanks for being with us on this Monday. Got any money stashed overseas that the IRS doesn't know about? And you better watch out. The Wall Street Journal says the Internal Revenue Service is getting better at finding those secret stashes. Since a crackdown began in 2009, more than 55,000 people have paid nearly $10 billion to come clean on such accounts. Others have not stepped forward, hoping to escape notice. But the Journal says the dragnet is tightening further. The IRS, for example, is mining extensive data provided by banks in Switzerland and elsewhere to find lawbreakers and their enablers. In a little noticed comment at a conference in late May, an IRS official said the agency has taken action on 100 potential criminal cases and another 14,000 potential civil cases as a result of this analysis. Meanwhile, courts this year have handed down prison sentences to at least seven people who hid money in offshore accounts, including a retired professor and a plastic surgeon involved in a divorce. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon Attorney General Jeff Sessions will testify tomorrow before the same Senate committee that heard from former FBI Director James Comey last week. Sessions earlier this year was forced to recuse himself from the Justice Department's investigation of Russian efforts to meddle in the election after he belatedly disclosed two meetings with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. On Thursday, Comey raised the possibility of other concerns about Sessions' dealings with Russia during the campaign. The attorneys general of Maryland and Washington, D.C. plan to file a lawsuit today against President Trump, alleging that foreign payments to his businesses violate the Constitution. A similar lawsuit was filed in January, but the case from two Democratic attorneys general may stand a better chance in court because it's the first brought by government entities. Trump insisted in January that he was moving business assets into a trust to be managed by his sons, eliminating possible conflicts, but the attorneys general say Trump is getting updates about the company's finances from his son. Now the prosecutors have rested their case against Bill Cosby. The team is floating the idea of the comedian himself might be up next. The 79-year-old said last month he would not testify, but a week into the sexual assault trial, his publicist says it's now a possibility. A heat wave has moved across the Midwest to the east with record-breaking temperatures likely to linger from Nebraska to New York until at least Wednesday. Patrick Burke of the Weather Prediction Center says poor air quality will plague many big cities as a result.
We have a storm system with cooler temperatures over the western states in the Rocky Mountains, but much of the Great Plains all the way to the East Coast will be above average for temperatures to start the week.
The temperature hit 94 yesterday in Omaha, Nebraska. A big cool down will hit the east on Wednesday. It was no match between a mummy and a Wonder Woman. Tom Cruise's The Mummy was buried at the U.S. box office, but did well overseas thanks to a strong start in China. The reboot of the cinematic monster opened to a weak $32.2 million in the U.S. and Canada. Wonder Woman pulled in another $57.2 million.
Tom Cruise only pulled in $32 million.
That's a big surprise, but it did not get good reviews.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. An 11-year-old Connecticut boy is getting the hang of rescuing his grandfather, and it happened again this weekend. Noah Humphrey is being called a hero after he saved his grandfather from drowning in the family's backyard pool in the city of Torrington early Saturday morning. Fox News says around 9 a.m. as Noah was tanning on the deck, he saw his 57-year-old grandfather try to stand up, but he couldn't. That's when he became unresponsive, suffering from a stroke.
Young Noah says his grandfather fell under the water and couldn't get back up. Noah immediately called 911 and waved down first responders. The bond between Noah and his grandfather has been unbreakable. Said they spent a lot of time watching TV and playing board games together. Noah's grandfather, by the way, is currently in the hospital recovering and is expected to be okay. This apparently was not the first time Noah had saved his grandfather. Noah says he's got a lot of experience because his grandfather falls a lot because his legs are not stable, so he typically knows what to do. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.